Welcome to episode 9 of our PolicyCon.org podcast series. Humanity is facing a problem. Industrialization and exponential growth of the world's population have led to an exploding demand for energy around the world. At the same time, the way that we produce this energy by burning fossil fuels is one of the key drivers of climate change. And climate change is a threat to us all. So how do we reconcile the growing demand for energy and our attempts to prevent climate change, or at least its worst impacts? The answer may lie within a country that you wouldn't expect. Environmental protection has not been one of its strong suits. It's China. Joining me today via Skype is Jill van der Walle, a member of our Policy Corner Projet Collectif team at Sciences Po Paris. Welcome, Jill.
Hello.
My name is Felix Hoffmann. I'm moderating and producing this podcast for PolicyCorner.org, our website where we publish policy-oriented articles by young scholars and students. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider giving us a rating in iTunes and hit subscribe. This will help our project reach some new listeners.
All in all, in the coming years, we will really see increasing engagement of China in a global energy governance and a world energy market, as well as increasing cooperation with other countries in energy. And I can only hope that the EU will also be able to maintain its relevance in this market, as well as continuing to actually be on the forefront of climate change action.
Jill holds a Bachelor in International and European Law and is currently pursuing a Master's in International Public Management at Sciences Po Paris. She specializes in China, where she has also lived and worked, as well as East Asian Studies and Environmental Policy. Welcome, Jill. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
So your article on Policy Corner is entitled Keeping Up with China's Clean Energy Revolution. Could you explain to us what is this clean energy revolution in China that you're referring to?
So as you said, the problem is very simply put that we're facing an increasing demand for energy and due to different reasons, population growth, rising middle class. And this means we need more energy capacity, while at the same time we need to decarbonize the energy mix that we already have due to climate change, as you said. In the recent years, China has become the world's largest energy consumer, and it is also the largest greenhouse gas emitter, because China's energy mix used to be mainly based on coal, and a lot of its industries are very energy intensive. This means that China is at the center of the global energy issues, and it's now at a crucial turning point in their transition towards a low-carbon economy. That means that they have a goal of a long-term having an energy supply that is not based on fossil fuels. And China experiencing a clean energy revolution means several things. So first of all, China already now has the largest installed generation capacity of renewable energy in hydro, solar, and wind power in the world. It's increasing this capacity at a much faster rate than everybody else. So China by itself was responsible for 40% of last year's growth in renewable energy capacity globally. This is basically a result of increasing amounts of investment in clean energy. In 2016, China spent around $78.3 billion in renewable energy investment. That's almost double of what the US spends. Therefore, it's the world's biggest investor in clean energy. And it set really high targets for 2020 and 2030. It plans to add much more renewable energy capacity and lower its energy intensity by much more than other major economies. And the policy framework that they have has fastly adapted to the practical challenges that arose because of adding so much energy capacity. And it includes now clear plans of the grid integration of renewable energy and things like this. And because of this adaptability and targeted policy, China is expected to reach many of the clean energy targets that they have much earlier than planned. As renewable energy has quickly become cheaper and more efficient, it's currently one of the fastest growing sectors. Last year was the first year in history that renewable energy was the majority of new power generation worldwide. So it's like overtaking coal. And because of this, Chinese manufacturers are expanding and increasing their global reach. So for example, if you look at last year, 4 of the global 5 renewable energy deals were made by Chinese companies. This all means that China is now an undisputed global leader in renewable energy, and it's committed to the energy transition on a much larger scale than many other countries. This basically results in China becoming increasingly important in global energy and climate governance, as well as them becoming a global technology leader while other countries are basically looking the other way.
Cool, interesting. So I think what you've just said has a couple of implications, right? China has increased its production of renewable energy, but it doesn't stop there. After all, there's still a long way to go in terms of technical advancement, technical progress, if we want to preserve our environment as we know it and live anywhere close to the living standards that we know today. So we'll certainly need new technology for that. So what do you think is China's role in driving this technological progress?
So I think the question whether new technologies are the answer to simultaneously keeping our living standard and fighting climate change, or whether this is even possible to begin with, is definitely up for debate. This means already that a lot of new technologies would have to be invented and implemented within a very short amount of time, which in this political climate seems like it would be very difficult. But regarding renewable energies, we are at least on the right track. Because as I said, in the last year, renewable energy technologies have gotten a lot cheaper to manufacture and a lot more efficient. But there are still a lot of technical issues, for example, related to how renewable added capacity integrates in the grid. And the efficiency can still improve a lot. So we need to do continuing research, specifically research and development into renewable energy technologies and the pathway of the transition. And this is especially relevant for a lot of developing countries that will face the worst of these challenges. In my article, I also say that China invests a lot of money in research and development for renewable energy. It's about the same amount of money that the EU spends on R&D. It's around $2.8 million per year. But for China, this number is increasing per year, while for the EU, it's actually decreasing annually. And the US was already a lot lower. It spends around $1.5 billion, and it's clearly pulling back more and more. There's also private investment and investment made in the companies that are manufacturing the technologies, which is why it's also important that the manufacturing power lies in China. For example, R&D in solar power is the largest share of R&D in renewable energies in general. And currently, China actually manufactures around 60% of the world's really produced solar cells. So it's really, China is also home to like the largest electricity utility company. So this invests in building electricity grids abroad, and that's specifically in developing countries. So this also means that China will really grow as a manager of all these new infrastructures. And in terms of research and development, as well as manufacturing power of technologies, China is really trying to secure themselves as a global leader. And that means that ultimately they will become essential in the advancement of these technologies. And the responsible actors in China are increasingly catching up. I give some examples also in my articles. But so there's no need really to think that R&D advancement in China is minimal. But it is important that to remember that there's definitely really a steep learning curve still. A lot of the recent advancement in technologies is still made by Western leading institutions and universities. And for China, this is going to be a slow process, and it's really dependent on many internal factors that will go beyond this large share of investment, like how they will manage brain drain, how their universities will develop on a global scale, and how and if their companies will succeed internationally. But I do really think in general, it's really heading towards a more increased importance in developing renewable energies in the world, because other countries like the US are really not investing as much financial and human capital into research and development anymore. And that will eventually diminish their capacities to contribute to technological advancement.
So I think that in the heads of many of our listeners, certainly in my head, China is not perceived as a country that has placed a lot of importance on fighting climate change. Is this impression outdated, or is it simply wrong? Like, how does this perception fit with these intensified efforts to strengthen renewable energy that you've just described?
Yes, I think this is really common. I think the view is mostly outdated, so it's really different now. China tends to be known by many people as one of those countries that is just the most polluted countries, and it definitely still is. I also think China's climatic commitments are sometimes viewed with a bit of skepticism because they are continuing to emit more and more, and they have said they're going to peak emissions in 2030, which can seem like they have a long period where they can just emit freely. But that is actually a fundamental misunderstanding of how a transition works and what it actually takes for a large economy to come to a slow stop and reduce emissions. That's because it requires a really large jump to clean energy for an incredible large economy with a lot of energy intensive industry and a large population that is basically demanding increasingly higher living standards and increasingly more energy. in reality, China has really taken proper measures and has committed to action in their national policy to radically change their energy economy and emissions, but then has also now recently really shown through their actions that they're taking this very seriously. So Chinese coal imports and consumption is also decreasing. This really means that they've taken action. Besides adding renewable energy capacity, existing coal plants are being made to be more and more efficient because you can't just phase them out altogether. Energy-intensive industries are slowing down their consumption because China is moving more towards a service economy. Mines and coal plants are being closed. There are strong provincial and municipal level accountability programs to decrease emissions in cities, for example. So some cities like Beijing are going to peak much earlier in their emissions already in 2020 or 2022. And under the current plans by the Chinese government, it's very probable that the whole country will actually peak emissions already in 2025. This is actually much more than was actually required for them under the Paris Agreement, which makes it a surprise for many who have not really been following these developments. But it really shows that their commitment and actual implementation efforts are a lot stronger than other countries that even signed this agreement. And China is also continuously pressing the importance of climate change action on a global stage. And that is really becoming important in the leadership vacuum that exists now. So I can understand that from afar, it might seem that China is still emitting increasing amounts of greenhouse gases and that adding renewable energy is not enough. But it has a much stronger plan and it's actually implementing these plans effectively, but also very drastically.
So all of these efforts that you've just described, they seem huge, right? They invest a lot of money, they invest a lot of political capital. So what has changed in China that suddenly they're all about the renewables? Is this China being genuinely worried about climate change? Or is this China asserting dominance in the energy sector of the future? Is it a power move?
So I think it's obviously always a little bit of both, but I think something really important to say about China is even though it's obviously an authoritarian state, it doesn't mean that it doesn't really react to issues that play for the public. So the government is obviously quite afraid of civil unrest and collective action, and in this way reacting to issues that cannot be hidden. So in the recent years, the issue of air pollution has become increasingly important for the Chinese population. And it was really catalyzed in 2015. A documentary came out. It's called Under the Dome. And it's about the effects of air pollution and the government's failure to regulate it. And it got really big in a very short amount of time. And then it obviously was taken down from the internet. And after that, has still been very important. And this really made the discussion around air pollution very big, and the government really had to take action and also seem committed to that action. So I think that for the Chinese population, this is really a big issue they have now with the regime, because it's such a large, it has a really, really large impact on living standards and public health in China for everyone. It really cannot be hidden because you see it in the sky. And there's a really high risk for civil action in this because people are not happy with it. And that means that it's something the government needs to be working on. They have committed on this issue since 2012 already. And because of this, it has really become a matter of legitimacy for the Chinese Communist Party. There is another factor of energy security and strategy. So renewable energy and electric vehicles will also allow China to not really be dependent on other countries for imports of oil and gas. China wants to be able to rely on itself and supply its population with the living standards they are asking for. And it wants to be a bit more resistant to outside shocks and not be as dependent on other nations as we are with oil, for example. Obviously, there's additionally a really strategic economic potential for renewable energy. It's one of the world's fastest growing markets, as I said. It's creating a lot of jobs. And it's becoming really a sound investment that at the same time really improves China's image on a global stage. And the economic incentive is obviously important for an economy in transition. But I think the image and the power aspect and the asserting of dominance is an added bonus, while first and foremost, the reasons for the shift are really grounded in domestic interests.
So it's like a triple win for China. But we have talked about China a lot. You also mentioned the European Union earlier. Could you give us an overview of where the European Union stands with its efforts to expand the production of renewable energy, maybe also in comparison to China?
So the EU really used to be on the forefront of renewable energy and of deployment of renewable energy. And it has been very important in campaigning for renewable energy and public action for global public policy action on renewable energy for a very long time. And for example, between 2005 and 2015, the EU doubled its deployment of renewable energy in the energy mix. And specifically, countries like Denmark or Germany are very known for this. But this has really changed since 2012. And on an EU level, it really will require large amount of investment adding to the EU budget, which is politically sensitive in the long term. But it would in the end actually be economically beneficial and it would outweigh the cost. So if the EU really wants to commit properly to climate change action and actually remain to be at the forefront of renewable energy technologies, it really needs to commit financially and politically to developing and deploying renewable energy a lot more ambitiously.
And how do you think should the European Union react to these Chinese ambitions in the renewable energy sector? Should it engage China or should it strengthen European competitors? What do you think are the options?
So I personally really strongly believe that climate change action is not something we should really be seeing in terms of economic competition, because it's really what got us here in the first place. Climate change really presents us with a possibility, not just with a possibility, but actually a need for global cooperation. And China is indeed the world's biggest emitter, but due to the integration of the global economic system and China's role in this, I think there's really a global responsibility in cutting emissions. And as I said, it's really a growing market. It's going to be increasingly important also in terms of jobs. And we are in the starting years of these energy transition, and the next years are going to be really defining in terms of which countries will gain major parts of the market. I think it's important for the EU to sustain their role in global cooperation for climate change, as well as promoting role in renewable energy, especially now in the context of the US stepping away from its climate commitments. There's already some cooperation and dialogue between China and the EU on topics such as renewable energy deployment, energy efficiency. There's a partnership on sustainable city developments, but that's mostly from the development cooperation perspective. And there is a China-EU Institute on Clean and Renewable Energy, which is an education and research institute, but it's all very minor compared to what actual cooperation could look like. As China is moving from a follower towards being more of an influencer, it's partaking more and more in international organizations within this field. It's creating alliances like the Belt and Road Initiative, which will also include really large energy projects. And regardless of China's increasing influence, they're still facing a steep learning curve. And I think the EU is institutionally very strong. It has implemented a lot of energy policy already. And there's a large opportunity for both to engage with each other through, for example, knowledge sharing platforms, as well as more ambitious R&D programs, large research institutes that are actually able to advance technologies. And this will be a substantial commitment to global action and cooperation for climate change, as well as allowing both for China and the EU to actually reap substantial benefits.
So collaboration with China seems to be the way to go, but in your article you point out that one serious problem when collaborating with China, on technological issues at least, is insecurity concerning intellectual property rights. Could you explain to us what is the problem there and how does it impede cooperation in the development of new technologies?
Yes, this is actually an issue because intellectual property, it's protected by the law through instruments like patents or trademarks and copyrights. So simply said, if you have an idea or an innovation, you can claim that and it's legally yours. And in order for companies to actually have the incentive to innovate, it is said that intellectual property protection needs to be strong for both local and foreign IPs. This is, for example, the case in the US and the EU. In China, there are some issues with intellectual property, specifically for technology. This is not because there's no laws in place, because there are, but the enforcement for IPs is really lacking. And that is mainly due to the reason that the government only recently actually really stepped up their action in protecting IPs. It wasn't really a common thing for them. Legal institutions like the courts were really not familiar with intellectual property, and they had to be trained in enforcing these rights. Another issue is that both decentralized government entities, so China is very decentralized, and some companies were really not as committed to protecting intellectual property rights. Also in China, certain industries have restrictions on foreign ownership, so that forces foreign companies to switch to using Chinese technical products. And through this, the technical specificities are known to Chinese companies and prone to copying. Recently, in 2017, for example, Xi Jinping was really clear about the necessity of foreign IPR protection, and the government started a campaign to protect foreign firms from IP theft. So it has really widely been seen that also, for example, by the American Chamber of Commerce in China, that IP protection and enforcement, even though challenges really remain, it has been really improving in the recent years. IP theft is specifically a problem for many technical industries like telecommunications, but it's also really important for renewable energy. The request for renewable energy technologies patents in China, specifically for solar, have increased rapidly in the recent years, and they really need to be enforced effectively. We need to achieve an acceleration of development and deployment of renewable energy technologies, and this requires a lot more innovation, and that's through the entire cycle, so not just in the R&D, research and development, but also in the manufacturing process. So how can it be manufactured faster or more efficiently? And this is something that China is really doing. As China is becoming the world leader in manufacturing these technologies, it's becoming more and more important that these technologies continue to innovate, especially there. And in order to ensure this innovation, China basically needs to have strong intellectual property rights protection.
So this all sounds kind of great, like China, this new powerhouse of renewable energy. But China is still an authoritarian state, and I would argue it is increasingly so. Do you also see a danger in building such close economic ties to an emerging authoritarian superpower?
So China is really definitely changing quite rapidly in the last years. It's increasingly exerting its power over its population, which is an issue. You can also connect this to authoritarian environmentalism. It's definitely a risk in China, as many of the policy decisions we are actually talking about are not really taken through public consultation, and they really affect lives. I think the main point to make here is that we, as the EU, already have really close economic ties to China. It's our second biggest trading partner after the US. And after recent complications in the relations between the EU and the US, it's going to be even harder for the EU not to engage economically with China because we've become very dependent on them. I also think it's a problem that in recent years, it really became clear that human rights conditionality will not be accepted by China anytime soon. And even though it seems like this is something the EU really discusses with the public, it does not really implement human rights in its actual relations with China. I think what is now really becoming an issue for the EU is that China, through its economic soft power, is improving ties to other countries, like, for example, through what I said, the Belt and Road Initiative. And it's specifically building ties with countries which are not as close to the West, or countries that are looking to expand their horizons in a way. Additionally, within the EU, China is also looking actually to really establish relationship with countries in Central and Eastern Europe. And this is outside the institutional framework of the EU, but it's EU countries. So this is really a difficult balancing act for the EU, as it needs to take into account these different political issues, as well as tackling climate change, which most of all is a global problem that will affect everyone. I do think obviously there's a danger in building relations with authoritarian countries that do not support the values that the EU was founded on. But there's also a really large danger of climate change as a whole. And I think that the EU risks losing considerable amounts of influence on the world stage and within its own borders if it doesn't act fast. And I think it's really important for the EU to actually make clear demands in its relation with China. So the EU and China are, for example, currently in the process of negotiating a new bilateral investment treaty. This actually allows some of the parties to set some of the rules, and the EU really needs to commit to, for example, screening for the increased amount of investment that are coming from China into the EU. They need to request China more strongly to open up their market, which is what the US is also doing right now. China is continuously promising to do so, but is taking quite slow steps, and as well as pushing for intellectual property protection, as I said before. But I do think in the end, both parties have substantial interest in continuing economic relations, but the EU just needs to stand its ground in what it needs, and through this continue actually to build trust between the two partners in order to work on global issues that are important for everyone, like climate change.
Maybe let's close the circle and return to the challenge of climate change. European-Chinese collaboration on developing renewable energy seems like a promising way to achieve the progress and the development that we need. So overall, what do you think will be the impact of all of this on our fight against climate change? Like, does this really have the potential to make a difference?
So yeah, I think it definitely will. China is the largest emitter worldwide, and curbing down Chinese greenhouse gas emissions is essential for global climate action to actually succeed. So the whole world is basically in a race against time. We need to reduce CO2 emissions as quickly and as cost-effectively, obviously, as possible. And that can be achieved through the phasing out of coal, investing in renewable energy deployment, and improving energy efficiency. And this is what they're doing. Most of all, I think also the fact that a country which is the world's largest consumer of energy and an economy in transition, that they have substantially increased their commitments towards a clean energy transition is very important for climate change action in such an uncertain time, especially also for other developing countries in transition, like countries like India. I think in this sense, China is really able to set an example, as it's really clear that change will happen when governments actually act. And acting means setting clear long-term policy and clear financial incentives for deployment of renewable energies. I also think it really shows that the EU really needs to mobilize funds as well as political willingness to actually take considerable climate change action that will allow them to remain at the forefront of climate change and their climate change action, as well as to embrace the actual growing markets of renewables. And I think all in all, in the coming years, we will really see increasing engagement of China in a global energy governance and a world energy market, as well as increasing cooperation with other countries in energy. And I can only hope that the EU will also be able to maintain its relevance in this market, as well as continuing to actually be on the forefront of climate change action.
I can only hope so too. Thank you so much for your insights, Jill. It was great to have you here in our small podcast project.
Thank you.
Thanks also to all of our listeners. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving us a rating and hit subscribe. If you haven't yet, please check out our website, policycorner.org, where you find all sorts of interesting articles, including the one we have discussed today, Keeping Up with China's Clean Energy Revolution. There, you will also find all of the information you need in case you want to submit an article or join our team. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Felix Hoffmann, and that's it for today. More exciting stuff to come, so be back next month for our policycorner.org podcast series. Goodbye.